Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Good, I like that. They're really adding some dynamism to the intro there.
We need
really
that. Good. Don't you think we're lacking something in the show? Do you think that people are turning off because they're sick of our shit?
I mean, yes, obviously, but I figured that was like an endless cycle.
Oh, right.
Like we'd get, you know, people would leave in droves.
Yes.
And then we'd get a trickle of new listeners.
Yeah, right.
Because people would be throwing down their phones in disgust and being like, I'm sick of this Weekly Planet podcast. And then another person would be like, Weekly Planet podcast? That sounds like some sort of weird conspiracy theory National Enquirer podcast. I'll give that a listen, right?
And then we got him.
Then we got that one person, yeah. Yeah.
Are they picking up the phone? Like it's in a puddle? And they're like, this is for me.
No, because nobody's outside. Oh, you know what? I haven't factored it in.
Some people are outside.
Yeah.
Marching around.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight, exactly, yes.
Just to be clear, I do not believe they are fighting the good fight. Listen, hey, for the past month or so, behind the scenes.
Oh, yes.
We've been, not us, we've got somebody to build us a subscription service.
That's right.
For this podcast and the YouTube channel and that kind of thing. The idea being that sponsorship is, we have lost a lot of sponsors because of this pandemic thing. And it's also...
But your YouTube revenue is fine, right?
No, my YouTube revenue is nearly half, Mason.
Well, yeah. Okay. I was trying to be positive towards you, and then I remember we had that exact conversation.
Yeah. So look, and it's certainly not dire, but this is something we'd be playing because it's similar to what the Sans Pants guys are doing. It's actually the same guy who's building it. But and the idea is that we're not going to take anything away that people get through Patreon or
in fact,
just
we're adding
just
something.
Yes.
We're adding the dumbest idea I've ever had, which we'll explain maybe when it's up and running.
Exactly.
I thought of a new podcast. It's a little bonus, little something.
Just 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to do bonus every week or couple of weeks depending. Yeah. But the idea is, look, if this is something you're interested in, we're just kind of gauging interest. It's all optional. And again, the stuff that you're already getting like this,
the podcast
you can
always
still have.
Be free, yeah.
But it will be also things like, because we also have ads that are inserted, which aren't us into the podcast, which are not affected, but we'll take those out.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But also with an additional podcast, which also sounds like we're making you pay for a thing that we added, which is why also we added the extra podcast and some other early stuff and whatever. But so what do people want to see?
Early stuff.
Yeah, so... Do people
have like hidden recordings of me from years ago being like, this podcast thing will never fly.
You'll never do anything with your life, James, or me. You're saying
right.
You're attacking yourself. Yeah. But we'd really like to know what things people kind of want to see if this is something they're interested in.
Yeah.
Again, completely optional. You don't have to. And the other thing is like movie commentaries or whatever and things like that. So
they'll all be up on the one page, right?
That's the idea. So look, additional ones I'm saying
cool.
But again, that won't take away from the way that we used to do it also. It'll be like an additional thing. Anyway, I just thought we'd throw that out there because we're currently putting that together. Again, entirely optional. I keep saying that. I know, but I feel like...
The fact that you keep saying it's entirely optional is starting to make me suspicious that it isn't entirely optional.
Well, what we'll do, it won't be optional, but then eventually 2 weeks in will be completely mandatory.
Oh, you're good.
So, yeah.
Good.
Whether or not you listen to the show or not, you have to sign up for it.
That's right.
It's like a pyramid scheme. If you sign up somebody and then, you know, then the money trickles
back. Here's
how it
works. It's going to be like the movie The Ring.
Yeah.
If you listen to our podcast, you will die in 7 days.
Yes.
But if you sign someone else up to our optional subscription service, you will live.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's how it works.
So if you could just spread it around.
Yeah. So look, email in, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter if there's something in particular you'd like to see. But again, Mason has thought of a very fun idea, which we've been hashing out, or he's been hashing out, I should say. I have very little to do with it, so if it goes badly, you know.
You're on it.
Yeah, I should say. No, I really like it. I think people really enjoy it. Anyway, again, we want to kind of move away from having to rely specifically on YouTube and sponsorship, because there's also people we have to pay, obviously, and including ourselves. So we kind of want to build something independent of that. Venom. Remember that movie?
What? I didn't know there was going to be Venom.
Venom 2!
I didn't know there was going to be Venom news this
week. Oh, it's Big Venom. Didn't you hear the title? First of all, it's been pushed to 2021.
Oh, it's a bunch of carnage out
that's
here
right.
or something.
That's right. There's a bunch of carnage out here. It's called Let There Be Carnage.
Okay,
what do you think?
I hate it. Sounds bad.
Yeah, but
is that what
do you expect?
Is that what Carnage said at the end of the last one?
I think he said there's going to be some carnage in the next movie.
Oh, yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
Which is this movie.
Yes.
If you're reading this now.
That's right. So the date has also been pushed to 2021. It was supposed to be later this year, I believe.
Okay.
So who knows when we're getting the trailer for that or anything else. Tom Hardy also posted a picture to his Instagram. I presume it was a fan art, but of Venom eating Spider-Man. So people are like, oh,
okay.
I think there's more than likely now that Spider-Man is going to be worked into the Venom franchise.
Well, speaking of fan art, did you see this week? A few people sent it to us. Boss Logic, famous fan art guy.
Fan artist.
He has
done. And regular artist.
He's also a regular artist, that's true. He did, I think it might be some old art that he's put up again. It was Captain America versus Lucas Lee,
yes.
which is a matchup we did in last
week. That's right, exactly.
Superhero Showdown.
Terrific.
I think it's just a coincidence.
Oh, no, it definitely
it's
is.
Definitely
yeah, it's definitely
yeah.
a coincidence. Well, I know that directors like hit him up or like creators be like, hey, I just want to, you know, the guy who directed Kong Skull Island, Jordan
yes.
Vogt something.
Vogt Roberts?
Yes, that's yeah. right. He asked him, can you just mock me up like an Oscar Isaac as Snake? Because he's doing this Metal Gear Solid movie,
okay,
or he was.
Cool.
And who knows what's happening.
Right.
So, yeah, so he does a lot of work like that as well. So
That's a service that wouldn't have been provided, you know, 20 years ago even. Because they'd be like, hey, I'm gonna do a Metal Gear Solid movie. Can you?
Who's Oscar Isaac?
They'd say he's not even out of drama school. They'd say, hey, can you mock up just the most generic man in black leather?
Yeah,
because that's what the character's going to look like in this movie.
Yeah,
because we're not going to commit to anything.
You're not wrong.
Hey, we're going to do an X-Men movie. Can you mock up Hugh Jackman just in a black costume, just a black suit?
You're not wrong. So yeah, what a world we live in though, where you know, I think a lot of the times like there is fan art and fan suggestions and Reddit threads. They
Would
do
say there's carnage out there.
Oh, mate, let there be carnage. That's what I say. In the movie Carnage, Venom 2.
Oh, okay, right. Because that would seem irresponsible in real life. You just say let there be carnage.
Do you think it's going to like spin the third one? Will be like, and now there's Toxin or whatever the next one is.
Yep, and now there's Venom 3 and now there's Toxin. It's another one. This one's green, maybe.
Yeah, they do get less interesting, the symbiotes, as they kind of spin off, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. It's like
Although
MASH and
now,
after MASH.
Now in the comic books, there's a symbiote god. Like there's
okay.
Because
they've got their own civilization and that,
yeah,
don't
right,
they?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And I kind of feel it's made the whole thing less interesting. But
yeah,
what can you do? I'm not in charge of any of this.
I do like the idea that
if I was, I'd be against it.
Yes. And you'd mock up some fan art, wouldn't you?
That's right.
I do like the idea that Venom...
It's fan art of Venom going, boy, it's a shame my whole civilization is destroyed. There's no more of us. And that's the end of that.
But no, I like the idea that Venom is pretty standard among his, like, race.
Oh, he's not even that interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's interesting, you know? But anyway.
Have you said, you know, did you ever watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
I don't know.
One of the characters, yeah, that's fair. One of the characters in that, Odo, he's like the security chief on the space station.
Yeah.
And he's a shapeshifter and he's like the least good of all the shapeshifters. Like he's got, when he's first introduced, he's sort of got kind of like very sort of generic puffy features.
Yeah.
But all the other ones are way better at him than him at shapeshifting. So
yeah.
we don't meet him till, you know, several seasons later, but they're like, why are you so bad at this?
Right.
Why are you the least interesting?
Is it because
one?
This guy, like, is that what he looks like in real life?
No.
And they're like, we don't really like this, the way this actor looks, and we're going to make fun of it.
Wow. Well, he's dead now, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then, so hopefully it's not that.
There's
a similar
that.
Character in The Orville. Like the security chief. I think she leaves the show, but she's like super strong for a humanoid. But among her people, they're from like a heavy gravity planet.
Oh, right.
And it doesn't, like, she's like standard among, among her people.
Well,
yeah.
I guess there's, I get, maybe that is a, I mean, that's a pretty standard trope, I guess, in Star Trek for a long time. Like, Deanna Troi in Next Generation, she's an empath, whereas the rest of her race are telepaths.
Yeah, right.
So she can always, she can just be like...
So she's not human.
She's half human, half Betazoid.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Half Beetleborg.
Yeah, half Beetleborg.
You remember the Beetleborgs?
Vaguely?
Yeah, good. Anyway, okay, sorry, go on.
So she's half Beyblade. And half, so she's half Beyblade. She's half Beyblade, half Digimon. So she has more power, but she's also got whatever ability the Beetleborgs have.
Yes. I'll Google it.
But they're you know, they're all telepathic, but she can only be like, this man seems angry. This man approaching us with a sword.
Yeah, with angry. A scowl on his face.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, they're like a Power Rangers knockoff kind of thing.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
And Spock, famously half Vulcan, half human.
Yes, so. Very famous.
Mm,
yeah.
The most famous one, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other news, the Batman has been pushed from...
Is Worf half Klingon? I don't know. I mean, he's definitely at least half Klingon.
I think he's full Klingon, isn't he?
There you go.
I don't know.
Okay.
People will tell us. But he's always like, if you weren't the captain, I'd tear you apart because of honor.
Mm. And then Picard's like, but you're not.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, nuts.
Nuts to you.
The Klingon equivalent of nuts.
Yeah.
Is the Doctor half human?
The Doctor.
Only in the telly movie.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? Mm. But that people also, we're talking about Doctor Who.
That's right, right, yeah.
But haven't also people retconned
Doctor Who, the main character of Doctor Who, yes.
Haven't people retconned that to be that particular incarnation is half human? Because there's also, remember when David Tennant, Doctor Who, there's two versions of that, because one regenerated from a human hand, so he's like a human version of the Doctor.
Right.
Okay. I don't know whether that actually turns out to be true, but it doesn't matter.
Absolutely doesn't matter, yeah. Just nice to think about, though,
isn't
it?
It's lovely to think about things.
Yeah.
The Batman has been pushed from June 2021 to October 2021. Shazam from May to November 2022. These dates are constantly moving. We were talking about this before the show, so I'm just going to stop doing this because it's...
You were like, I'm going to move the moving the dates thing to up top of the show, and I'm like, why?
To get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I don't have to talk about it. Mm. The Flash from July 2021 to June of 2021, they moved that up. Bold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man got moved, which we suspected it would be because it was in the middle of a Marvel slate that got moved because it's the Sony property, from July to November. And Thor 4 got moved up 1 week to February 11, 2022. And a bunch of other stuff moved, like Uncharted got pushed back. And there's a Dungeons and Dragons movie that may or may not have been worked on at the moment. Who's to say? Is Dungeons and Dragons...
Where's Gambit? What's the status of Gambit?
I don't know nothing about Gambit. Okay. Yeah.
Could we make up some wild rumors?
Maybe we could call Gambit's mum and see if Gambit could come out and play.
Okay, cool.
Or is Gambit... Is he grounded at the moment?
He might be grounded, yeah.
Okay, cool. At least he's got a Sega Master System to play.
Yeah. Who do you think Gambit is?
A kid from the 90s.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Star Wars news.
He leapt into a pool and he wrecked his hypercolor t-shirt.
He would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Actually, before we get to Star Wars news, your favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've talked about this. With Dungeons and Dragons,
yes.
We have. I'm sure we have, actually, now I think about it. You got to go more specific than general Dungeons and Dragons now, don't you?
I think you do.
Because then it's generic fantasy stuff. You know, it's a dragon and it's a castle and it's a mage or whatever.
I feel you've either got two options, and it's use an established Dungeons & Dragons fantasy setting, like Forgotten Realms or Ravenloft or Dragonlance or Greyhawk or Dark Sun or...
You know a lot about
I've
this.
I've run out of Planescape.
I'm genuinely
Spelljammer. I don't know how many of these still exist, though.
They all exist.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of them have been discontinued, I think.
But people can play whatever they want,
that's
can't they?
That is true, yeah. Look, you either got to do that or you've got to build a fantasy realm maybe that takes elements of any of those and just make it distinct enough that it isn't just literally the Dungeons and the Dragons.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right, and it's four people on a quest or whatever, which I guess is Dungeons and Dragons, for instance, anyway, but yeah. Anyway, it's just a thought. In Star Wars news.
Oh, yes.
There's a new Star Wars...
You know what? At this point, I don't even mind the fact that there's Star Wars news.
You just have
any
news.
Just any news at all, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I hear there's big rumblings in the Clone Wars in the last
couple
of
there
weeks.
Is. I've got to watch some of that.
Okay.
Catch up on the nearly zero episodes I've watched. But Variety have learned from their sources that there's a new series from Leslie Headland. The exact plot is being kept under wraps, but it's said to be a female-centric series that takes place in a different part of the Star Wars timeline. Leslie Headland, of course, did Russian Doll.
Yes,
which
that's
is
right,
really exciting. The other thing, Mandalorian Season 3 has already started production. No surprises there.
But we haven't even had Mandalorian Season 2.
Well, no, but you have to get it ready because I think that's already mostly filmed. And they can film it indoors or whatever because it's just in front of big screens.
Yeah, they can, Mandalorian is the most... apt TV series to be filmed indoors with no one else.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's just CGI and whatever you want. Just put somebody in a room where the backgrounds are being animated.
A spinning
live.
Ship.
Spinning ship, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Right. You got your puppeteers that are standing really far away because they're puppeteering. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And Cassie and Andor.
Mandalorian's wearing a helmet.
Yeah. Who's under there? Nobody. It's just a broom. There's nobody even on set. So Cassie and Andor is also set 5 years before the TV series of the movie. Mm-hmm. And Genevieve O'Reilly is said to be returning as Mon Mothma. She's a good Mon Mothma. She might be my second favorite Mon Mothma.
Of the two Mon Mothmas.
Yeah. She's a good Mon Mothma. Do you doubt how good of a Mon Mothma she is?
I enjoy saying the name Mon Mothma.
Yeah. And you don't care who's wearing the Mon Mothma cloak.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Very interesting.
Isn't it, though? Yeah.
And that's all the Star Wars news we have for this week.
How do you think they're going to play Cassian Andor?
I
was going to say, how do you think we're going to see Cassian and Andor portrayed?
I think he's supposed to be more his kind of dark past kind of thing.
Because we didn't really get a lot of that in Rogue One, did we? Well, he shot that one guy.
Yeah, but a lot of people now, I don't know if you noticed, have taken to Twitter to live stream their movies and be like, James Gunn is like, this is Guardians of the Galaxy. And some people who worked on Rogue One did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how part of his history originally was that he was a double agent and he was working for the Empire. Mm-hmm. And then he comes good. He's like, I just want to help now because there's a Death Star. Sure. So I think, mm-hmm. but it's also implied that he's shot a lot of people because that one dude he shot. So I think we're going to be getting that side of him. Uh-huh. He's doing secret agent stuff, but bad stuff because he's a bad dude. But he's doing it for because he doesn't like the Death Star.
Yep. Good solid.
Know you mean?
Yeah, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good. Westworld season 4 has been renewed for season 4. I know, but season 3 hasn't even finished yet, has it, Mason?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they've filmed and released many of those episodes, James.
Have you been watching it?
Do you not know how Hollywood works? I'm behind.
It's great.
Yep.
Keep watching it.
Okay, I will.
And they're out of the Westworld.
Yeah, I know.
Which I like.
Yeah, they're in the regular world.
Yeah, it's good. That's right.
Normal world.
They should have called it Regular World. Mm-hmm. Season 1.
Yep.
Yeah. I've been really enjoying it. And there's the less kind of twists and turns and time dilation-y stuff and like what's happening when. And which some people think has kind of taken like some of the fun out of it, but I like it. It's just like, and then this week this happens and the next week this happens.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And it's interesting. It's like Dolores' plan unfolding for kind of world domination and how she's doing it and who she's using and who's a robot and who not be a robot.
Does she have time to pop down to the Deadpool office and change her name from Dolores to any other name?
She can be whoever.
I mean, you got to change.
She just tie her hair up in a bun and like walk into a security complex and go, don't worry, I've shut down all the cameras because I'm a robot. Don't tell anyone. You haven't been watching it, but that's how it
pretty
works.
Much every episode. Wow. Yeah.
And there's a Big Mac.
Yeah, no, I know.
The Big Mac got more play. You got to watch it.
I will.
Yeah, all right. How much faith do you have in live action anime?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Obviously.
Level with me here, James. Given, what did you feel about, how did you feel about Ghost in the Shell?
It's fine. No, fine to average.
Yeah.
It's flat visually.
I can't really remember.
Exactly.
Which I think is a bad sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it being quite kind of stylish in that kind of vague Blade Runner way. But
it wasn't because it was quite grey.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking of because Blade Runner came out not that long after. Right, yeah. I think that's what you might be thinking of. Because I remember when I saw Blade Runner, I'm like, this is what I thought Ghost in the Shell was going to look like. Because I was really looking forward to the mech fight.
Yeah,
and it was just kind of whatever.
Yeah,
that's the best mech fight.
So anyway, what's this live action anime adaptation that's going to be happening?
Sony and Avi Arad of Avi Arad Productions, who you might know
of Spider-Man, ruining some Spider-Man.
One Punch Man.
All right, who are they going to get?
Tobey Maguire, blank face, completely blank, expressionless.
That's true, yeah.
Shave his head, you'd never know. Mm-hmm. But don't get him. Get someone else.
But will they get The Rock?
You can't get someone The Rock's...
They will get The Rock. That's what I'm saying.
They'd have to get someone like... I'm trying to think of someone. Who's someone who looks like a normal man, but Hollywood? Matthew McConaughey.
Danny Pudi of Community?
That's not bad, actually. I like that, yeah.
See, the problem is that...
He might be too thin, though. I mean, he can work out.
The whole point of One Punch Man, as we know, is he's a completely average man who began quite a moderate training regime.
Yes.
And somehow became the strongest, most powerful man in the world.
Yes.
Through that. And now he is so powerful that he can defeat any enemy in one punch, as the name. And the idea behind him is that he looks completely unassuming. That's why so many people come at him.
Yes.
And are so overconfident.
Or don't realize that he's the one who's done.
But I feel like Hollywood fundamentally would misunderstand that.
Yeah, especially...
Or they'd be like, people don't... people will not, after so many years of The Rock being this guy,
yeah,
people will not go and see a movie where there is a man who is so unassuming but also so undefeatable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, it'd be that mistake like when they cast The Rock in that new Big Trouble in Little China movie.
Right.
Because it's like, well, that's not the point of that character. No. This movie, I just saw a rat run out behind you. Not a joke.
I know.
Had a gun. Harsh times.
It's
you
a
know
bad
what I
neighborhood,
mean?
Yeah.
That's why my dog's always barking at that thing. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, what did you say? I was looking at the rat. It was like the ending of The Departed. Right. It just happened behind you just there.
That lousy rat. I was saying that I think Hollywood fundamentally would misunderstand the point of One Punch Man.
Yeah, right.
He looks so unassuming and beyond average.
Oh, okay. So someone has actually mocked up.
Of course they have.
This, the exact thing that you said.
Who's his? Oh, it's Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart and The Rock.
As a cyborg friend.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
No, no, thank you, please. Mm. So, anyway, but the people who are working on it, Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinkner, who are writing it, they wrote the Venom movies, including Let There Be Venom Carnage.
Okay, sure, yeah.
But they also did the Jumanjis. Oh. And I feel like the Jumanjis...
It's The Rock.
But I feel like also the Jumanjis have like that kind of fun, kind of wacky spirit.
Yes.
What are the chances that this will be better?
Yeah.
I mean,
they could have a Japanese-American cast. That would be a wild swing.
I'm going to stop you there.
Yes. Oh. All right, bye, everyone. All right, average men in Hollywood.
Yeah.
What about Barry's friend in Barry?
I don't remember. I'm not up to date on Barry. Season 1 or season 2? Henry Winkler?
No, the guy, and he's like a mobster. You know the guy? He's bald. And he's got no.
Oh,
he's got
yeah,
no
Anthony
hair.
Carrigan.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think like naturally bald is like necessarily the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So it'll be Statham. I mean, he's naturally bald.
He's too mean. What about Zach Braff with a shaved head?
Absolutely not. No. No, no. He's too busy with his podcast.
He is.
Where he recaps episodes of Scrubs.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe people could write in. What is
I would see Danny Pudi.
Yeah, me too. He's got that kind of face for it, actually. Mm, yeah. Yeah. What about a Tobey Maguire, though? Genuinely. I don't like him. Apparently he's awful. But
and would you see a movie with him as One Punch Man?
Yeah, I'd see a One Punch Man movie regardless.
Right. Do you think he and Avi Arad are on good terms?
Probably.
Okay.
But who knows? Do you think Avi Arad has any friends outside of like making money?
I know nothing about Avi Arad. Honestly, I don't even know how to pronounce his name correctly.
No, you're nailing it.
Am I? Thank you.
Yeah, you should be his friend. You could be One Punch Man.
Oh, I could, couldn't I?
Yeah. So what else we got here? In a bit of news that ties into our caravan of garbages at the moment, Scoob is heading straight to streaming on May 15th.
Not going to watch it.
You have to watch it for the show.
I'm not going
to. We're dedicating an entire episode to
it. I'm not going to.
Listen,
I refuse.
We'll call it the Scooby-Dooby Weekly Planety Shoby-Woby, and we're going to cover the movie Scoob. What do you think?
So what you're saying is, in order to cover this movie, we're going to rename our podcast and just keep it with that name forever.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm in.
You excited?
Yes.
For the Scooby.
Podcast needs a refresh.
Boobity doobity.
Yes.
Whatever I said.
Yes.
No worries, I'll listen back when I edit this. So
okay,
I'll know.
Cool.
So we don't know whether this is indicative of the quality or not because of the era that we're in, but it certainly doesn't look great.
I don't think it is.
But maybe it's great.
I don't think it is.
Will Forte.
Oh, is the voice of Shaggy, yeah.
But is also MacGruber's coming back. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, MacGruber's coming back.
I really
back.
Like MacGruber.
The movie that nobody saw is coming back. It's a fun movie, yeah.
As what do you mean, as a sequel or a
sequel
reboot?
Series or something. Yeah.
Series?
Yeah. Huh. Will Forte is the master of making really good things that nobody watches.
Yep. That's how you work in Hollywood.
Isn't it? Yeah.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. The other thing is, do you like The Saint? Which version, though? Roger Moore, Val Kilmer, probably another early to mid-2000s reboot?
If I had to pick one, it would be Roger Moore.
Because he's so cool and suave.
Yes.
He looks like a tan leather briefcase.
I used to read The Saint books. They're quite good.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, they were when I was, 12 or whatever. So
Is it like, and then The Saint took off his mustache and it was The Saint? Nobody realized right. It was The Saint.
Yep, sometimes you go an entire length of a novel and you're like, who's this mustache guy? Who's the mustache guy in this book? When are we getting to The Saint? This guy's, fighting organized crime and solving people's problems and whatever. But, I bought a book about The Saint in an op shop for a dollar.
I want to be here, yeah.
And then he takes the mustache off and I'm like, ha, Simon Templar, you've done it again.
Were you ever a fan of The Saint?
I just said I was.
No, sorry, the series.
Which one?
Whatever.
The Roger Moore one,
so
yes.
You did watch the Roger Moore one.
It used to be on TV at 4:30
in the afternoon.
I don't
think I ever saw it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, so you'd watched a bunch of
But there
of
was
the
a
Saint.
Val Kilmer one, yeah. And then there was a pilot for a series like a few years ago with Eliza Dushku as his, like, second in command kind of thing.
Val Kilmer?
No, just some rando. I don't know what his name was.
So she was like the lead.
No, she was like the she was like his, like, you know,
in the van.
She was in the band, exactly.
In the van.
Yeah, in the van and the band.
Okay, they had a band.
Yep.
So she'd often take off a mustache and be like, it's the Saint's assistant.
That's exactly right.
Whole time.
Yeah, and that's why I never...
You go entire episodes, you don't know who the Saint's assistant is.
That's why it never got picked up, because people turned off. But you can see it's on Netflix, that one. The pilot is on Netflix. It's like a TV movie.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's not great. I don't recall it being particularly great.
That's right. They dumped it there, didn't they? Yep. I forgot. We've definitely talked about that. Anyway, Chris Pine is the Saint.
Oh!
It's going to be penned by Seth Graham Smith, who did the Lego Batman movie, which is quite a fun movie. And directed by Dexter Fletcher.
Oh.
I'd like this lineup.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
Chris Pine is going to have another shot at an iconic spy-ish role in a reboot.
Yep.
Jack Ryan, I'm talking about.
I was
going
to say Jack Ryan, yeah.
Yeah. He's the master of stepping into a role that somebody did in a reboot. Chris Pine's, he's Star Trek.
He is Star Trek, yes.
Jack Ryan, give me another one.
This Means War.
Yes.
Which is obviously that's an adaptation of War and Peace.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, I like him. I think he's a...
If I knew more about the novel War and Peace, I could make some awkward metaphor about Tom Hardy is one character in War and Peace and Reese Witherspoon is another character.
In War and Peace Oh, my goodness.
But I don't know actually the plot of War and Peace, so I couldn't do it.
Do you think people are more too busy? They're making jokes about how War and Peace is too long. Then they should be reading War and Peace, though. You know what I mean? It's become like a joke.
I think too many people are reading War and Peace and not doing their part to end war and begin peace.
No,
I
think
it really makes you think, James.
I thought the idea was to have war and peace at the same time.
Sounds bad.
It's not war or peace. It's war and peace together.
Oh.
Which I guess is kind of the constant state that this planet is in.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because there's both, you know what I mean?
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I figured out that book, so I don't need to read it, do I?
No, that's true.
Terrific.
Do you think our friend Dave Warnicki's done it on...
I know he talked about doing it.
But it's a hugely long one, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's probably building up to it. Mm. Talking about book cheat. I don't know if I heard you say book cheat. Anyway, should we mention who the saint is? Some people might not know who the saint is because...
Go ahead.
No, you're the saintsbert.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can do it, but
well,
I feel like you should do it.
Well, the saint is Simon Templar. He, I believe, is a he was a soldier during whatever war happened prior to the events of whatever.
So the 60s show probably World War II, I guess.
Probably World War II, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Korea,
yeah. Or another war, because it's constantly War and Peace.
That's right. And he's just doing solving crimes that the police won't touch for some reason.
But he's also being people, isn't he? He's like pretending to be people.
No, that I feel...
Was that more the movie?
I feel that was more the movie, yeah.
Right. So he wasn't like the pretender, where he's like, this week I'm a race car driver with a mustache.
And every week I'm like, where's the pretender this week? My God. I didn't sign up for this.
You certainly didn't, yeah. Okay, so that was more the Val Kilmer one.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right.
He's a bit like... I was going to say he's a...
like James Bond?
Yes.
Because in the movie, wasn't it also like... He was raised by nuns, and that's why he's the saint or something.
I can't remember.
Because they're like, because he loves saints. And Elizabeth Shue's like,
I see.
Cold fusion. And he's like, yeah, that's good. All right. You remember that movie. Okay.
Anyway, basically, he's just a guy, and he fights crime, but he also, like, takes people's money and stuff. You know, he's like a James Bond, but he's less for queen and country, and he's more like, I'm going to beat these criminals, and I'm going to help you out, but I'm also going to take some money for myself.
He's Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Do you know how The Rock lost Jack Reacher? He was like, I really wanted to be Jack Reacher, but Tom Cruise took Jack Reacher.
Makes more sense when it's Tom Cruise, doesn't it?
No. Because isn't Jack Reacher supposed to be like 100 feet tall?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He's all American all the time. Not that Tom Cruise isn't all American.
All American all the time.
If we're
casting Jack Reacher based on how all American you are, Tom Cruise was in Cocktail.
He's still an all American boy, even though he's 59 years old, he is, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
He's a real Peter Pan, that guy.
He certainly is. Because he can fly?
Yeah.
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 Get ready for this, Mason.
War and Peace chronicles the French invasion of Russia and the impact of the Napoleonic era on Tsarist society through the stories of five Russian aristocratic families. Those five, of course, being Tom Hardy, Chris Pine, Reese Witherspoon, and two other people who were in the movie This Means War.
Probably Seth Green. And Chelsea Handler's in it, I believe.
Chelsea Handler's one of those Tsarist aristocratic families.
That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it is because it's a very famous novel. Get this.
Yes?
Lionsgate are developing into a movie, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snake.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So anyway, they're making this movie. They've pushed it into production and it will be out in a few years. The previous movies in the franchise made $3 billion, the four that they made.
Is this a trick? Is this some sort of... Is this like how Game of Thrones is the first novel in Game of Thrones was A Song of Ice and Fire?
Yeah.
And this is some sort of trick?
I'll give you the author.
Okay.
Suzanne Collins.
Suzanne Collins.
Yes.
Don't know who that is.
I'll give you another clue.
Yes.
Woody Harrelson, but he's in a wig.
Cheers?
No. I'll give you another clue.
Yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, but he died and they put him in it anyway.
Oh, Hunger Games.
That's right. I didn't want to give you the lead because you would have got it immediately.
Yeah, right.
Did you know those movies made $3 billion? I didn't know that.
Good on them.
Yeah. I know they sort of fizzled out towards the end.
Yes.
Because they split the last book up.
Mm-hmm.
We did an episode on that. We used to make annual something Doctor Who Hunger Games episodes.
That's right,
or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's basically a prequel book which will be out soon, which is about the rise of the whoever the bad guys are in that, Donald Sutherland, and he's like, who's got the weirdest hair? You can be in charge with me.
That's right.
We'll start this Hunger Game.
How good are you at eating a bunch of grapes while sitting on a lounge? Join my team.
What do you think about that?
We're building weird nanotechnology that can make us robot panthers, but not food, apparently.
Mm.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Keep society. It's a metaphor.
That's right.
I mean, not in this world. It's not a metaphor. It's the literal world we're creating and we live in. Anyway, I guess there's been enough time where this could be interesting, but prequel.
Yep. Could be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I would like to see that degradation of society. And I would mostly like to see all the weird justifications why they need a Hunger Games as opposed to any other form of society.
It's because it keeps people in check.
Yeah.
Remember? Because it's like, if you're in this particular village, this means your village will listen. Listen to people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a good movie, I think. Some of them. I've got the books.
You've got the books?
Yeah, when I lived up north, I heard they were making it.
Uh-huh.
So I ordered them and read them because I had nothing to do up there for a year.
Because you wanted to be mad about the differences between the books and the movies.
Yeah, but I've forgotten. But I'm sure I had really passionate opinions at one point. No, they're mostly accurate, I believe. Yeah.
Great.
They even get that salute right. They got that salute right.
Yeah.
There's only so many salutes you can put in a movie. You know what I mean? You got the Spock one. You got the Hunger Games one. Mm-hmm. You've got like a regular salute. You got a thumbs up.
You got the salute to rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're running out of hand symbols for special salutes in dystopian or regular futures.
That's true.
What are we going to do?
Just pinkies?
Nah, I feel like that's already like a cup of tea thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably true. Pinkies, but you put them together.
Oh yeah,
like in a steeple situation.
That's pretty good. I feel like that's also a Dragon Ball Z move.
Oh, okay, right.
That's more like this, maybe more like a diamond.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking of
pinkies together. Turn one fist up, one fist down.
I hope that's what they say when they do it. Pinkies together. Turn one fist up. Turn one fist down.
We all live in this dystopia, and we love it.
Just so everyone knows we're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah.
I like it.
It's good, right? Feels pretty good.
Doesn't feel that good.
I think it feels good. You're getting a little stretch in there.
Mm.
Maybe you could switch them around.
Oh, yeah. Pinkies together. Switch them around. We all live in this stuff. What am I doing? What am I?
And here's the twist, though.
Yeah.
Every day they turn it around.
Yeah.
And if you're a spy or something, you don't know. You don't know what.
And they
shoot you.
They put a nanobot dog on you or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's how they know. It's like that scene in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know the correct chant and you don't know which way you turn your fists.
But you'll know.
Yeah.
If you're in the know.
Yeah.
Great. Last bit of news. Tenet is apparently still planned for release on July 17th, unless otherwise situations determine that cannot be the case.
This year. Huh.
It's coming up.
Well.
Theatres, though, if it is released, there could be social distancing things in place. I'd imagine where half sessions and things like that, certain number of people in theatres.
Yeah, right.
I feel like if somebody's got that and you walk into a movie theatre.
Everyone's got
it. You probably get it.
Regardless, yeah.
So the idea is that, like, maybe it won't make as much money because it's that you're releasing it at a time. But also I feel like if it's the only new thing for the next 4 months,
yeah,
then it could just very slowly just do very, very well.
Yeah. What are the Oscars going to look like this year?
They might cancel them.
Yeah, probably.
Or next year, next year. Depends. It depends how the end of the next rest of the year shapes up.
I want Bloodshot to sweep the Oscars. I really do.
For what? Most generic movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll add that award. Like, we can't give it best, but we can give it most generic. It was fine, right?
I enjoyed it.
What's your favorite movie of this year so far?
Bloodshot.
Is it?
No, I don't know. What else came out?
Underwater. You seen that yet?
Nope.
It's come to streaming. Vivarium. Vivarium.
Like a chocolate Vivarium.
Like a chocolate Vivarium cheesecake.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious, but I haven't seen it.
Nah. It's got Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But you know what might be the best movie of the year?
Oh, yes.
Get ready for
on.
This. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I've got a bit of an intro to this. So Hugh G Reaction on Twitter said, oh, talk about Extraction, please. So we've actually got a new movie to talk about this week. In the tradition of, you know, middle-of-the-road Netflix action movies, including Six Underground, Spencer Confidential,
oh, yes.
Triple Frontier, comes Extraction. It's better than those, I feel.
Way more. Look, I didn't see Triple Frontier.
I didn't mind Triple Frontier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it had a solid cast. It looks like Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac, and there was a good kind of rapport there. It's like bog standard action wise, but it's compelling enough.
I did not care for Six Underground. You didn't.
I couldn't watch more than a minute of that.
Right.
Why do they have a parkour guy in a car chase?
I don't know, but it was sort of aggressively visceral, but it was like that Michael Bay style of just everything and everything in every frame is moving constantly and exploding. And when everything is pulling focus, you can't, I can't enjoy those. And I watched maybe 5 minutes of Spencer Confidential and I had to switch it off. But this one, watched all the way through.
I know, right?
It's a good movie.
Well, it is directed by Sam Hargrave, who you might know as a stuntman and stunt coordinator who worked on films like Civil War and Endgame.
Oh, yes.
So the Russo brothers were also involved in the story and screenplay side of things.
Okay,
It's pretty bare bones in terms of storytelling, but a lot of the story unfolds in the action, because I know the director wanted to kind of have it so each action sequence tells you a little bit about the characters that are involved in that.
Okay.
So, for example, and we're going to go non-spoilers and spoilers, but it is on Netflix if you do want to check it out. You know, you find out things about Chris Hemsworth that, you know, he's not going to shoot a kid
So you know he's a big wuss.
Yeah, yes. There's certain lines that he won't cross, you know? So even though he's
like
kind of,
not being a big wuss.
Yeah, that's
he'll
right.
never cross that line, the big wuss.
The big wuss line, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of an anti-hero. I think a good nickname for this guy would be John Prick. Because he's like, he's like, you know, he's like a meaner version of John Wick. Yeah. You know, kind of a rougher, like the kills are more kind of hands-on. Don't you feel? And visceral than
a lot
of John...
a good question. I feel they're more real than John Wick.
Yeah.
I feel like...
there's a hyper-violence to John Wick, and this is more kind of...
Yeah, it is more grounded. There are a few...
That's not a criticism of John Wick either. I'm just like
no, I think that's, you know, it's not quite apples and oranges, but it's two different varieties of apples.
Yes,
ultimately.
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like this is more of a Granny Smith.
Sure.
Yeah?
Crisp, clean, polished.
Crisp Hemsworth,
yeah. Mm. What I really enjoyed about Crisp Hemsworth in this is he's like a foot taller than everyone he fights.
Yes.
One of the first action sequences, because I watched a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, the director talked about how, you know, you see how efficient he is with weapons when he busts into the room, and he's whittled away, and at one point he uses a cup and a rake and all these different things. But him being so much bigger, he's able to like kick the legs out from underbody and they just hit the fucking ground really difficult.
He's a real Jack Reacher.
He is, isn't he? But he's just tossing people around and I just really enjoyed it.
There's a few that sort of dip into John Wick territory.
Sure.
I think there's a moment where he essentially bodily picks up one dude and sweeps him across the room like he's a club and knocks him out. Do you remember that bit?
I do.
Yeah.
There's a moment where he picks up a guy and like dumps him over his shoulder onto his head. Apparently that's a fake body because they're like, we couldn't really do that.
Yeah, right.
Kill somebody doing it. A lot of time I can get sick of action sequences if I'm not really drawn into the character. And I found that was what John Wick 3 was to me. It became less interesting as a character.
Well, to me, John Wick 3 became less interesting just because it felt... quite video gamey. We did an episode on it, I think.
Sure.
And quite video gamey, and also kind of, he had a formula for success.
Yeah,
and he
right.
just kept doing it. It was set your dog on someone.
Yep.
Then close the distance and headshot them.
Yep.
And then that 50 times.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it lost that. Seeing that a few times was kind of interesting.
Yes.
But it kind of lost its luster that
nobody. They don't get worse as movies, but
no,
there is that. I'd agree with that.
I don't feel like it worked initially as a novelty, and then it was like, oh, we're doing this again.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Doing this again. That's okay.
And when you get past the kind of you move way past the dead wife and the dead dog. You kind of become disconnected from those things that were kind of tethering him in the first movie.
Yeah.
But this has the advantage of being, it's the first, potentially first movie of maybe a franchise. We'll talk about it. But that it is fresh and new, and he's a new character, and everybody seems to be using their real accents, which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah, very diverse cast as well, I thought.
That I really enjoyed, because a lot of the time when, you know, they'll do drug lords in, you know, Mexican drug lords or whatever, which, you know, it's in nearly every movie, but this is the idea that there is, you know, there's crime in India.
Yeah,
of course there would be. And the idea that they used a lot of local actors to do that. Like,
yeah,
the guy,
well, early on we see, you know, Chris Hemsworth's origin, he's hanging out with the Kimberleys and in, where's that, Western Australia?
Western Australia, yeah.
And they use clearly local actors, which is nice.
Exactly. And that's not really something you see a lot of, you know, using Indigenous actors like properly in things in Australia. It's definitely getting better, but it was, and they were minor roles, sure, but they took the time to be like, well, let's get some local actors to do this, you know? Yes. I appreciated it. But the same thing with one of the lead actors, Randeep Hodar, who's a famous, I'm probably saying that wrong, but he's a famous Indian actor, I thought was also really convincing in his action sequences. And he's clearly
he's Chris Hemsworth's sort of opposite number.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And the idea also that when you're in their world and it's just them talking to themselves, it's subtitled. You know, they're not like, let's just speak English for God's sake. You know, which it happens a lot
of
the time.
You've got to practice your English.
Yeah. But I felt also like a big part of this movie is him protecting a kid. I thought that kid was really good. Mm-hmm. And their relationship kind of, they flesh it out just enough that it's interesting. I feel like it was just on the precipice of like, there's nearly not enough here
between
these two characters.
So? Yeah.
But I mean, not that you ever get the sense that he doesn't like the kid, but I think there's one scene in particular where they sit down and they have a discussion where they actually properly click, and I think that really aided the finale of
this
film.
And then the shopping montage, that really helped it out. After that, they're like, oh my God, you love frozen yogurt too? Let's go.
What I also liked
about... I'm coming up, I got the world to know.
I like also that, first of all, at the start, there's a time jump, but they didn't say 5 days earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it
not
does
a sci-fi
it.
Time jump, just to be clear.
Yes. Like they open it at a particular thing and you're like, oh, what's going on here? Then they go back. And I feel like a worse film or TV show would be like 5 days earlier. So when you jump back at the start, you don't really know if it's back. You don't know what direction that is. That might have been an earlier moment for him in his life.
Yeah, right.
But you find out that obviously it's not. But also like that, he's very kind of sloppy and improvises a lot in the way that Bourne does. Because I remember appreciating when you see those Jason Bourne movies, when he's in a car and he's doing a car race to get away, he's got the map open. Like he doesn't know where he's going. And in this one, like he takes a wrong turn at one point and he has to back up, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Things like that. I made him kind of more
He had to rely on
real.
A GPS at one point. He puts it on the dashboard and he's like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not from here.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But it is mostly Chris Hemsworth doing it for the most part, which is pretty evident.
There is a leap off the roof and I wonder if that wouldn't have been Hemsworth, surely.
No, I'd imagine not. That was in the Wanna. So the Wanna, from the, it starts in a car chase and then it goes into tactical kind of shootery.
Oh, yes.
And then it's a fist fight in the street. It's like 11 minutes 30. And there is cuts in it.
Yep.
But a lot of that was the director, who plays the sniper in this, you know, he's got the beard.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, he strapped himself to the hood of a car and was in the car chase, like following close as cars are flipping and spinning out.
Uh-huh.
So it's really kind of adds to it. I feel that it's not just CGI cars flipping, it's real cars and you're getting really close to the action the whole time.
Felt good. Felt visceral, but not like... You know, we don't need to see every bullet go through everybody and come out the other side and all that sort of stuff.
But if you do want to see that.
Six Underground, I guess, yeah.
I mean, it's also in this.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. Is that what happens in Six Underground?
At one point in Six Underground, somebody fires a grenade at a car and it actually comes in through the window and it breaks the driver's nose. And then it lands in the car and then it explodes.
Okay.
So he was like...
I think that's quite...
Yeah, but when it's every frame.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. So it's every time somebody's killed, it's a grenade to the nose. And
yes,
then,
that's right.
Speaking of broken noses, there's a bloody broken nose in this, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. There is, Mason. If you want to see Chris Hemsworth slap around a bunch of kids, definitely going to get it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that was my favorite action sequence because he's fighting kids and they've got guns and machetes. Yeah. And he doesn't want to kill them, and he's just like cuffing them, you know, like a dad, yeah. like cuffing his kids
yeah.
the entire time.
Oh, is that?
Though he is really hurting them.
James, is that scratching an itch for you at all as a dad? Do you think?
I guess it is. I don't hit my kid, but you know, after this, lessons seem to be learnt, don't they?
I mean, Chris Hemsworth is a role model. Isn't he?
Well, his kid's in this. There's a moment where you see one of his kids.
I wondered if that was his kid. Okay,
actually,
yeah.
his kid. Uh-huh. As kid as blonde as the day is long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which isn't surprising. Yeah. Do you want to talk about spoilers?
Let's talk about spoilers. I'm going to say best Netflix movie ever.
Me too.
But maybe literally ever.
I'm sure there
Probably
are other
that's
examples.
A generic statement of like best movie ever because it's not the worst movie yeah. ever. But I think this may be... What's a Netflix movie that's better than
I'm
this?
I'm just Googling. Marriage Story? Roma?
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't seen
pretty
it.
Good.
Dolomite is my name.
That's okay, right, yeah. right. Oh, okay. All right, best Netflix action movie. Yeah,
oh, I can't argue with that. Yeah. What about The Irishman?
No. That's an action movie?
What about Uncut Gems? That came to
Not
Netflix.
Not an action movie, really.
El Camino?
I prefer this, actually.
I really yeah. liked El Camino. I mean, yeah. they're different, aren't they? Did you see The King?
No, what's The King?
The King is about a king, and he's like, I'm the king now. Timothée Chalamet and Robert Pattinson's French, and he's like, I'm French in this.
This is on Netflix.
Yeah, it's really good.
The King.
If you like Braveheart, then yeah. Murder Mystery, what about that?
That movie is pretty average in my estimation.
What about Bird Box?
Didn't see Bird Box.
Really?
Didn't see
there
it.
Was the Bird Box Challenge. You're going to be coming to the Bird Box Challenge too. Like, you're going to be driving your car blindfolded. Right, people are going to yeah. be like, where's this guy been?
Yep.
It's going to be really embarrassing for you. Yeah, there's some good stuff here, but yeah, you're right. A lot of it is generic action movies, like, you know, like, time is up, or point your gun and click.
So there's
like
a lot
that.
Of movies that are sort of like Battle Los Angeles. There's a vague, alien yeah. threat, and they come down and they've got green laser sights, yeah. and who are they?
And it's how
probably,
are they going to get...
probably humans from the future or something.
Yeah, but how are they going to get to the big blue laser?
Probably in, like, armored vehicles.
Armored vehicles,
and then
I'd
maybe
imagine.
Through the sewers when yeah. the armored vehicles get stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Through the sewers, yeah.
There's only really one kind of big spoiler moment in this.
Are we doing spoilers now?
Yes.
Okay, James, spoilers from this point forward. Please. Are you ready for spoilers, James, and listeners?
Well, I've seen it, so I'm okay with this, obviously.
Oh, yeah, just listeners. Listeners, are you okay with spoilers from this point forward? I can't hear you.
No, we're not. We haven't seen it yet.
Wow. Well, maybe
you
hit
can
pause.
Click away. You can click away.
Yeah. Volume down.
But I can't. I'm on the other side of my room. I can't reach my device that I'm playing this on.
Cover your ears. Just cover your ears with your hands.
I don't have any hands. They're stuck in a toaster. You could sing a song really loudly.
You could sing a song really loudly. That's right.
I'm not a great singer. I'm a bit self-conscious.
You know what? Everybody can sing a little bit. Just believe in yourself. There's okay. always one song. You just sing the song you sing in the shower.
I'm coming up.
I want the world to know.
This has actually given me a lot of confidence. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that's great.
I'll rate you 5 stars on iTunes.
Oh, bless you.
Give this video a like.
Bless you. Wait a second. How can you do that if both your hands are stuck in a toaster? You lying son of a bitch. Stop listening. I don't want you anymore.
So, Chris Hemsworth manages to make the extraction.
That's right.
And it turns out that the guy who think be his enemy really hired him. Because so Chris Hemsworth would do the extraction because he couldn't pay for Chris Hemsworth because he's so good at extractions.
So the idea was that he would get Chris Hemsworth to do the extraction.
Yes.
Or the lion's share of it.
Yeah.
And not pay him or his team and then kill him and then get his henchman.
Yes.
The aforementioned opposite number to perform the rest of the extraction.
That's right.
For freebies.
That's right.
Wow, rude.
And Chris Hemsworth is not having it until he is.
Yeah.
And he's okay right. with it. Because yeah, he loves kids or something.
Yeah.
But also he wants to drown. He's got a lot going on. He's a complicated man.
But does he
man.
Want to drown?
That's a good question. No.
No.
Because it was really good how there was a metaphor in this about how you only drown if you fall into a river and you don't get out of the river. And then at the end,
yes.
Chris Hemsworth falls into a river.
That's right, yeah.
That's wow.
Do you feel like
do you think he was thinking that as he fell in? He's like, what are the fucking odds of that?
Yeah, right.
He said that exact thing and now I'm in the river.
Yeah. But then he would have been like, but I've been in rivers before, I think, you know, as part of my job and probably just swimming in a river sometime.
I live up in the Kimberley.
Swinging off an old tire swing, perhaps. Just hanging out, having a bevy with the boys, you know? But wait, I'm drowning. I should probably stop thinking about this and get out of the river.
But I've been shot in the neck also.
Do you think that this movie could have worked? Do you think it needed the flashbacks?
Yeah,
because Chris Hemsworth's character is driven at least partly by the fact that he had a child who got very sick, and yes. then rather than deal with that and spend time with his wife. He instead decided to leave and do army stuff. Somewhere else.
That's right.
And he regrets that.
Yeah.
And in performing this extraction, money or no money, he's like,
this is my penance.
This is my penance, and as a result, I can live at the end of this.
Yes.
I feel like we didn't need to see any of that. I feel like it could have just been.
Well, I feel like I'm. Sold it in his telling of that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I feel like it, you know, in the telling and in the, just we. I think we as an audience are smart enough to be like, oh, he had. You know, we don't need to see the kids swimming in the river or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, right. We get it. But
okay.
You know, I guess he wanted a job for his kids.
Wanted a job. So do you think Chris Hemsworth at the end of this was alive and that was Chris Hemsworth?
Who else could it have been?
John Prick. His character, John Prick.
Oh, okay. Right.
No, his name's Jake Rake or something.
Jake
his
Rake.
His name is Rake.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's related to Rake?
From the TV show Rake, Australian TV show Rake.
Even though his name's not Rake?
I think his name is Rake, isn't it? Oh, no, it might be like Muck Raking. No, his name's Cleaver Green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, do you think they're brothers?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It all comes together,
doesn't
it?
The only on TV cinematic universe.
Yes. So how did he get into that school? I guess he just...
He jumped a fence.
Jumped a fence.
It's 8 months later. I'm sure he's fine now.
Yeah, and nobody stopped him in the school, I guess. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the main character presumably living...
I think it's okay.
I think it's okay too. Yeah.
I think it also gives the kid closure.
Yeah. Okay, but how do you feel about the final action sequence where I feel the only reason Jake Rake stuck around was to be shot by his teenaged arch nemesis, the little kid who he'd humiliated in the past.
Yeah.
I feel like there wasn't really, because he sort of, at the end we have, he's had the kid run to his compatriots, his surviving team, and this is on the opposite side of a, like on the safe side of a bridge. Then he starts walking back to the bridge to shoot the leftover, you know, army guys and police guys or whatever.
Corrupt cops or whatever, yeah.
Also, one of my criticisms, I think, is maybe that I felt it was very convenient that there was they just put a throwaway line in that was essentially, everybody in this city's on the take. So it's totally fine to shoot all the cops and all the army guys. Like, it's totally fine.
But I also feel like it's, yes, I agree with you, but a lot of times when people live in extreme poverty, then it's just part of the system. You know, everybody's trying to feed their family, so everybody who can, you know, will, you know, do whatever. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
and if you're in the police force also, and they're like, kill this guy, even if you're not on the take, you're the police and you have to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
Yeah. So he's also killing people who are just doing their job.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah.
But
he's not a great guy, is he?
No, he's not. That's true. But I guess my point is that the only reason he goes, I guess the idea of that final action sequence towards the end is he doesn't think he deserves to live anymore, or he's done what he needs to do, so it doesn't matter at this point if he lives or dies, and he's just like, well, I better kill some more cops.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's why he was walking back, to shoot more cops.
Seems that way.
I thought he was just like, I had enough of this shit.
You think so?
I didn't take it as like, I'm out for blood.
I felt like the timing of the editing worked is that at that point it didn't seem like him or the kid were really in any more danger.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like, oh my God, there's more troops at the gates, and if you don't, you know, take a stand right now as we run, the kid's going to be killed and we're all going to die. It felt like there was this sort of very calm moment where the kid and the good guys were going to get away, and he's just like, well, time to go back on the bridge.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Bang.
Was he actually walking back, though, or was he just walking in any direction?
He was walking back on the bridge.
I just thought he was just walking.
I just need a moment to gather my thoughts,
damn,
folks.
I've been shot so many times.
Yeah.
I've got some alternate casting here I thought you might be interested in.
Oh, okay.
Because this movie has been in the works for
the Rock?
For a while. No.
What?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I guess The Rock. Do you think... I wonder if The Rock would do it just because it's a character with some moral grey area.
I think he does moral grey areas.
Like who?
Hobbs, all sure.
They don't have any moral grey area.
They're all good all the time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They're only... Well, that's the thing. I feel like Hobbs and or sure.
Yeah.
They're not... Then they don't exist in a moral gray area. They're just amoral because they're not real people.
Sure. Okay. What about San Andreas? I feel like he's got a moral ambiguity because he steals that helicopter.
He steals the rescue helicopter that could have gone to save dozens of other people, and he uses it to save his wife.
That's exactly
his daughter.
Right.
Maybe.
No, he's certainly done movies like that. I'm trying to find an example of this.
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall is, yeah, there's a bit of that there. Now, there's a movie called Snitch from 2013 where he plays like a snitch, and he's like, my son's in jail or going to jail. I'll do the snitching around here. Uh-huh. So, yeah. I think
is it called Snitch?
It's called Snitch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's called I'll Do the Snitching Around Here. That's what it's called. So he does do it, but...
Step aside, snitches.
Yeah. But anyway, he wasn't asked. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, I feel like he wouldn't be a good fit because this isn't his...
narrowness of the doors.
Yes. But this isn't his kind of movie, really. You know what I mean? He's
maybe later period Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I know. Because if you look at like his 80s, 90s movies, it's hyper-violent and he's invincible and all those things. Uh-huh. But yeah, certainly that has changed as he's gotten older. But even then, I don't think he'd do a convincing what Chris Hemsworth does in this.
Yeah,
and
right.
The other one who I'm glad they didn't get was Bruce Willis, because they mostly just would have shot a body double, like the back of his bald head.
Yeah.
And it would have been a much worse film with
for sure
Bruce Willis sleepwalking through this.
And I also feel, yeah, and exactly, I feel you can't... I don't think you'd also get a convincing physical performance out of him.
We need
to know that this is a special forces guy. Maybe he's not at the top of his game, but still, you know, he can clear a room of guys with AK-47s.
6'3" or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he's big and experienced, and you know his nerve doesn't break because he doesn't really care if he's alive or dead at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
like the bit where they put the gun to him.
Yeah,
but he's like, there was no bullets in that gun.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't think he would have flinched regardless.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Even as the bullet went all the way through his head. No flinching. No snitching, no flinching. Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's good that if you're looking for something new, like a new action movie in particular, because there is a lot of indie stuff still coming out, and obviously there's TV shows that are still kind of in the can. It's nice to get something new that's not terrible. So
that's
I think it's definitely better than the movie Bloodshot, if you're comparing it to other action movies from this year.
Yep.
And I think it's... For 2 hours, it doesn't certainly feel 2 hours.
That's, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought starting this is probably going to be like a tight hour 20, hour and a half, but no, it's about 2 hours, so there you go. Right. I'd like to see more from this director as well. I think he's good.
So he's never directed before this? Okay.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yes, I agree.
Good work.
Good on him, yeah. So is it time for the next segment of the show?
What we reading?
What we gonna read? I like that. That's a new way we could do it now.
All right, bloody got tickets on himself over here.
Well, I just think if you're funny and you know it, you should tell everybody.
I think so too, yeah. That's right.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? I genuinely cannot remember what I have been reading, but luckily I wrote it down. But what have you been reading?
Well, first of all, I should have mentioned this up the top, but I forgot.
Oh, no.
I watched a couple of episodes of TV's The Flash because I was on our friend Matt Stewart's podcast, Primates.
Oh, Primates, yes.
Where we talked about Gorilla Grodd and Gorilla City.
Gorilla Grodd. Did you watch the one where he fought King Shark?
No. We watched some prior episodes
where
Gorilla Grodd... He kidnaps somebody, and also he's in Gorilla City, and then there's a sort of gladiatorial arena situation, and then they invade. Gorilla City invades Regular City.
Regular City.
It's nonsense, this show. It's
comic books, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a good time watching it, and I had a good time on the podcast. So if you want to listen to that.
I'll link it below. Please. Are you going to come back to do future episodes of that, or
yes.
Will you continue watching The Flash?
I like the odd episode of The Flash.
Yeah.
I probably will not, you know what, I think what I will probably do is start from, because that's season 3.
Yeah.
I think I might start at season 4.
Okay, sure.
And go through it
sure.
from there, I think, yeah.
Well, if you love discussions with people, Sal and I from Comic Pop recorded a thing earlier this week that's going out on his channel on Tuesday, where we talk about the film adaptations of both Alan Moore and Frank Miller.
Uh-huh.
And we pretty much go through everything and kind of rank them.
Great.
Whether they're good or not.
What's your number one?
Of them all?
Yes.
I quite like V for Vendetta.
What's your number 7 of them all?
Of them all?
Yes.
Probably the movie From Hell. Give me another one.
What's your number 9 of them all?
It would probably be The Killing Joke.
What's your number 4, Alan Moore?
My number 4 Alan Moore adaptation.
Yes.
Okay, so we could do V for Vendetta. We could do Watchmen. We could do, what else could we do? We could do From Hell. We could do Alex G.
Oh.
The Batman the Killing Joke, obviously. Constantine also counts, so probably Constantine.
Oh, you've got an answer for everything, don't you?
Well, you have to. You got to be ready.
Here's something that I was going to mention earlier, but then I forgot.
I know what a phone is, Mason. He's holding up his phone. I've seen a phone before. I've seen a smartphone.
No.
No?
This one's made of licorice. But also, this
it's not very smart.
Entertainment Weekly put this up this week. It's not a thing to read necessarily, but it. I think it was designed to upset people.
I love it.
It was, you have $15, build your own Avengers team. Didn't
that was
you
the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever seen in my life.
Right? Yeah. It's an insane, like, because it's you have $15, build your own Avengers team. There's five lines, a $5 line, $4, $3, $2, $1 line.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Here's the thing. It's either been built randomly.
Yep.
Or it's been built deliberately to upset the maximum number of people. Because I guess top line, it's just the most, it's big guns who are famous.
Yes.
I guess it's, so the $5 line, Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, Thor, Hulk.
Yep. Because it's like your core team.
Yeah. And then this assortment is crazy.
Hawkeye is $4.
Yeah. Hawkeye's.
But Vision is
$1. Right? War Machine's $1.
How is Vision below Happy Hogan?
Right? Happy Hogan, $2. Scarlet Witch, $2.
That's outrageous.
Drax the Destroyer is $2.
Yeah. What would you pick? I said, when someone asked me on Twitter, 15 Visions.
Right. I guess you can mass produce them, yeah.
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 But what would you choose, though, realistically? Looking at that top list, you'd only need one of them.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need any more. And I'd probably do someone like Captain America, but just for leadership.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? What would you pick?
Look, probably Thor, Doctor Strange. That's $9.
Yep.
Both
magic, though. Do you want to go both magic?
Well, see, that's the really good question. See, yeah. It's a fertile ground. it's a fertile ground if they're like pick five.
Yeah.
You can only pick five. But then you have to go into, well, why, you know, why is Loki only worth $3?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's accurate. Oh, that's how they
that's
get you.
That's not accurate.
That's how they get you.
So it's Groot, baby Groot.
But why is Ant-Man worth $4, but the Wasp, who has all of Ant-Man's powers but can also fly,
and is better at martial arts. Yeah.
Is it because Ant-Man can turn into a giant man? But surely the Wasp suit can do that too, as well. She just doesn't do it.
Yeah, well, maybe the idea is that he's got a tech side of him, but she's tech-ish.
I would imagine she's exactly as tech-savvy as him.
Well, I think he's more kind of Radio Shack tech, and she's more science tech,
right?
If I had to guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like Quicksilver even being... I know he dies immediately, but he's very fast.
He's very fast.
I'd put him above a lot of people on this list.
Because that's the thing. If you build an all-magic team,
yeah.
What if the villain you're facing has some sort of anti-magic?
Yes.
You know.
Scarlet Witch, $2.
Insane.
You know who's not on here at all? Captain Marvel.
They give you $5, mate. actually, good character, very enjoyable. Good performance. I like it.
Me too.
But that's a little something. That's a little something for the boys. You're out there. You know you're out there. You don't have to listen if you don't want to.
Yeah. Black Panther, $4. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Hawkeye shouldn't be $4. Spider-Man is a $4 superhero, I would say.
No, here's the thing, though. But, like... If Hawkeye's $4, then Black Widow can't be $5.
Why not?
I feel they're
she's better than him.
But I feel skill wise they're about the same.
Yeah, but she's better, but probably not a full dollar more.
But also not $5.
No. Also,
yes.
Do you think any of these would accept this money?
Oh, are we paying them?
Yeah, we're paying
them. That's a system I didn't factor in. Like Iron Man, he'd be like, I don't need them. Iron Man would be like, I don't need the money.
Yeah.
Captain America would be like, well, that's enough.
Even if I do need the money, no thank you, man.
Give it to somebody else. That's 20 egg creams, he'd say.
Yeah.
Forgetting what era he's in. Thor wouldn't need the money.
Nah.
Hulk, no. None of those people, yeah.
Black Widow would probably take the money.
Think so? She'd take the $5?
Yeah, I think so, on principle.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, you're paying for a service. So even like Star-Lord... He's $3. I wouldn't pick him for a team ever.
Yeah,
because
he'd right?
fuck it up royally. Yeah. He gets by. He's competent enough, but he's an absolute fuck up, and he would ruin your team.
He would ruin
and
your team exactly. He would ruin your team for a significant amount of time before he pulls it together, and then he maybe saves the team.
Maybe,
but that's what I'm talking about. So just remove any uncertainty and not have Star-Lord on the
team. I wouldn't take Drax. I wouldn't take Groot. I'd take Rocket or Gamora, but I wouldn't take any of the other ones.
Nebula. Insane, though.
Volatile.
Yeah, unpredictable. You're right.
Which era? You know what I mean? Maybe that's modern, true. Mate. Yeah, probably. Nebula and Gamora are comparable, but if you had to pick one, you'd pick Gamora because she's more skilled.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I've been reading, just constantly staring at that all week, being like, what are they even thinking?
Well, they got you talking, haven't they?
That's true. Also, apparently this week, Elijah Wood has been popping into people's Animal Crossing games and trading turnips. Did you see that?
I haven't been Animal Crossing.
I don't have a Switch, so I can't help anyone there.
Me neither. With turnips?
Sorry?
With turnips or otherwise?
Just otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what I've been reading.
Well, I can tell you what I've been reading.
Okay, tell me about it.
Jeff Lemire, Ryan Cody, Eric Gapster, and Phil Hester are working together on a comic called Family Tree.
Oh, yes.
It's about an 8-year-old girl who starts transforming into a tree, and their family set out on an adventure to find a cure before she completely turns into a tree.
Huh.
It's good.
There you go.
You want a family narrative and about love and trees?
Not especially.
Then this is perfect for you, because it's not even about that. It's action adventure. It's set in space. There's not a single tree in it.
Wow.
I tricked him. It's mostly about the tree thing. I said, he can't hear this because he doesn't listen to the podcast.
And I'm la, 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 la.
Yeah. That's it? That's what you've been reading?
Well, I must have been reading some stuff.
You've been on a bit of a break. You're at home. What have you been doing?
I don't know.
What have you been doing? It sounds suspicious. If you've been doing nothing since I last saw you.
I've been sleeping in real late. It's been tremendous.
You can't.
Oh, you know, I've been watching it. There's a guy on YouTube. There's a channel on YouTube called Today I Found Out.
Okay.
And it's just every I think they come out like multiple times a week, but it answers weird questions like where do the royalties for Hitler's book go? Like who gets them, you know?
Hitler.
No.
No, they don't put it into a slot in his grave.
Oh, they should, shouldn't they?
I'm going to subscribe to that right now.
That's right. If you show up at a certain day, it works like a one-armed bandit.
Yeah, also there is no Hitler's grave because the body was apparently destroyed, though there's rumors that the Russians have the skull.
Oh, my goodness.
But we don't know. I went to where he shot himself, his bunker. I think I've talked about it. It's just a car park.
Oh, dear.
No, because they didn't want to put this is where Hitler died.
Right, right,
because people would leave flowers.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Other questions might be like, how far could, as an English speaker, how far could you go back in time?
That is interesting.
Before people wouldn't understand you anymore, the other English speakers.
I have thought about that before.
Turns out it's about the 16th century.
What happens before that?
Before that, there's too many dialects. The spelling becomes non-standard. There was a vowel shift.
Okay,
apparently,
sure.
At one point, like if you were to say the word bite, you actually pronounce it beat.
Beat.
But they all switched at some point.
Yeah, right.
So,
naturally, or it was a.
I think it was like an evolution. Yeah.
Oh, who eats the fillet-o fish? I worked at McDonald's. I always wondered.
Who was it? Psychopaths.
Mostly, or on Good Friday, then you'd be fillet-o fish frenzy.
That's true.
I think when I worked there, I ate every single thing at one point, except for the fillet-o fish. I've never had one.
Wow, I've had a fillet-o fish.
I know they're probably like fish fingers and whatever, but
yeah.
Also, I don't know if you know this: order a fillet-o fish, you get half a slice of cheese. They don't even give you a full slice.
Excuse me.
That's right, Mason.
Even these days,
I haven't ordered one.
Right.
But
if you
ordered a fillet of fish between 2002 and 2005, then that's what they used to do when I worked there.
Because that's what you gave to people.
No, that is what they were so specific about amount of ingredients. Because they have to be. I think
what happened is you admitted it one day. You're like, I only put in a half a slice of cheese. And they're like, my God. No wonder we're all rich
my
now,
man. Okay, I'm going to add this. Go back in time thing to my watch later queue.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm learning all kinds of stuff.
Well, should we move on to the letters segment of the show?
Maybe, but maybe I'll waffle a bit while I find the letters theme.
Can't we just move on with it, please?
I don't want to.
Mason, we don't need to waffle a bit. We can actually just start the next segment of the show.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Don't you feel that it's something we should be prepared for every week? We should rely on us filling out the show with amazing content.
Yeah, I know, but I am ready every week. Like right now, I'm ready. Right now.
So we weren't filling.
Classic one was not the at all. Letters. I was ready.
Oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We know they're here right now. We're going to do letters. That being said, right now I am going to fill because I don't have a letter. So.
Okay, well, that's good because I just saw this video. It says, why did old-timey boxers all pose make this pose? You know the old-timey boxer pose?
Oh, there's a really interesting one. And I'm going to spoil it for you here.
Sure.
It's the first one I saw. I don't know why it came up in my suggested whatevers.
Yeah.
But it was in like West Wild West times, if there was a poster that said wanted dead or alive, what were the rules of that? And it turns out you could shoot somebody if in attempting to apprehend them, they either attacked you or they tried to run away. You could shoot
them. So you can't just shoot them straight
up. No, you couldn't just shoot them straight
away. But also, you live in a time where nobody sees anything.
That's the thing. So here's the thing. So you know how famous outlaw, train robber, etc., Jesse James was killed by his friend Robert Ford.
Shot him in the back of the head while he looked at a picture.
Here's the thing. He
told people that he didn't do that?
No, he told people that he did do that. He brought in the body.
That's why people hated
him. He brought in the body and he said, and they said, how did this happen? And he went, I got him to look at a painting and I shot him in the back of the head. And they were like, all right, well, you're on trial for murder now. But if he'd said, oh, yeah, he tried to kill me, and then there was a struggle and I shot him in the back of the head, he would have gotten away with it scot-free.
So that's also why people hated that guy.
Yep.
Because also in that movie, which is a terrific movie, by the way.
Yeah.
So he too was like a stage show where he recreates it like every night.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And people come to like mock him and call him a coward. Yeah. For shooting a dude in the back of the head.
But yeah, but like it was the rule. Yeah, the rule was if they came at you or if they ran away, you could shoot him in the back if they ran away. So
that's fine, is it?
It's apparently fine.
Wow.
Wild West, baby.
Wiki, wiki, wild, wild West.
This is a tweet we got. So if you want to email in, it's weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, or you can tweet at either one of us.
Yes.
This is the one that I enjoyed.
I love enjoying things.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? This is from Adam Houghton. If the Titanic never sank, what would have been the number one movie in 1997, taking into consideration the change of events being from the ship not sinking originally?
I also had this exact tweet. Right? And I've actually pulled up some box office numbers which might assist in our discussion. God, it feels good when we're so in sync, the Backstreet Boys. They always got to line up their vocals in a way that people found musically appealing. That's why they had so many number one hits. They're still appealing to this day. Anyway, Titanic made $2.2 billion. Right?
Yeah.
Next up, we had Jurassic Park, The Lost World, made $618 million, so quite a bit less.
Yeah.
Then we had Men in Black, $587, and then Tomorrow Never Dies, $339 million, which came out the same week. So, my thinking,
yes,
and I hate to be a big old basic B, Mason, is that if the Titanic didn't sink, there wouldn't have been a movie to replace it similarly.
No, I don't think so either. I think it captured the imagination.
And our hearts.
And our hearts. I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen it.
In a way that nothing else on that list would have.
No.
I don't think... And it's a thing that would have caused people to go out in droves and watch it over and over and over again, which I presume they did. And nothing else on that list would have. So I think the larger question is, which of those movies would still exist if the Titanic didn't sink? Because it would change more than that, I think.
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor winning. Tomorrow Never Dies, did you say?
Yeah. They probably would have done better.
It's on a boat.
Well, that's true.
A lot of that's on a boat. Maybe boat-related movies
but Tomorrow
would be different.
But Tomorrow Never Dies,
yes,
they were made at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Like they didn't influence each other.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, maybe all of society would have changed so people weren't interested about stories on boats because there wasn't a historically huge boat-related disaster, what I'm saying.
I think you wouldn't have had people trying to replicate the success zone. Like, as mentioned, we wouldn't have got a Pearl Harbor.
No, Pearl Harbor, exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. Maybe
I wonder
be
if
less
it's like historical epics because off the back of that, well, Saving Private Ryan would have been, because that came out the next year, but that would have still been filmed. But I'm trying to think of, like, other examples
Gladiator?
Of Gladiator? Yeah, maybe. Gladiator's more sword and sandals.
No, it's about a sinking boat.
I don't think it is. I think it's about Russell Crowe and he's like, who let these tigers in here? I thought it was just being Gladiator.
Are you thinking of Tiger King?
Oh.
Yeah.
I tried to
who
watch it.
Who put all these tigers?
I did. I'm one of the people in Tiger King. It was me. I'm one of the several terrible people
so
in this series.
So you didn't watch the whole thing?
I just don't give a fuck about any of those people.
Yeah, that's
just
fair.
Awful fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch the Michael Jordan documentary. Which is fascinating.
What's the major thrust of
that? Well, I talked about it on the show Suggestible, my other less successful podcast.
Oh, yes.
So I don't want to get into it too much here because I know there is some audience crossover, but it's basically the 97 to 98 Chicago Bulls season where they're going to win another championship. They won 5 in a row and the team is starting to fray. And there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
What about
stuff.
His shorts, his big shorts? Are they starting to fray?
No, crisp and clean.
Doesn't he wear other shorts under his regular
shorts?
Well,
if you ask Matt Stewart from Do Go On, he's really the one that you'd want to consult about.
Like he wears his
that.
College shorts
yes, he does.
Under, his,
good
under
luck.
His regular
also
shorts.
Also in the movie Space Jam.
Oh, yeah, that's
seen
true.
The movie Space Jam.
Yeah.
So, anyway, even if you don't like basketball, you might like it.
Yeah. This is Ryan Cochran. It's his first time being a guest on a podcast.
It's not a guest. I mean, you've put your foot in too far here, Ryan. Is that what he's saying?
Not
he's
our podcast.
Is he saying he's a guest now by putting his letter in?
Oh, no. He's saying he's going to be.
Oh.
But in a way, aren't all our listeners guests on the podcast?
This is more of your pandering, like the time you told everyone that they were your best friends that you hang out with.
We've been hanging out.
I don't believe you. If you haven't hung out with Mason yet, make sure you hit him up because he'll pencil you in.
Yeah, that's right.
No, he'll pen you in so he can't cross it out.
That's right. Even with one of those special erasers that erases pen ink.
They don't work, though. Those.
That's what I'm saying. We're all in.
We're all in, aren't we?
But yeah, they're all guests in our home.
No.
Our collective home. In the man cave.
Nope.
Ryan owns a couple of beer focused bar bottle shop stores in Melbourne.
Oh.
He says, James, you are 100% correct. Beer is a conspiracy. Is that based on something you said on suggestion?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically, I said a lot of people just drink beer because it's like the standard thing to drink and it's like the socially acceptable thing.
Oh,
but when I go out, I'm like, give me a fucking fancy weird
cocktail
drink.
With an umbrella in it. That's what you
want. I want like a weird thing.
Because
beer's just, it's too filling as well. You have a couple of pints and you're like, I've got so much beer in me.
He says, I've just been asked to be a guest on.
Calorie heavy.
Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
Except for low carb. But I asked to be a guest on a beer podcast, The Cauldron. Now, my question is, seeing as you two have both been guests on other podcasts, as well as having guests on The Weekly Planet, what makes a good guest? Is there anything I can do beforehand?
Yeah, I don't...
Any tips of the trade in being a podcast superstar?
I think it helps that if you don't over-listen to everything, if you'd never heard it. Most of the stuff that I've been on, I think I knew what it was anyway, walking into it. But yeah, if you don't know, like, just get the flow of it. But don't be like, well, they're this kind of people, so I'll say this. And it's like, don't overthink it, but have an idea of what you're going into, essentially.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like, if, you know, we've both done Do Go On and like Primates and things like that and Book Cheat. And, you know, there's a certain amount required for you going into that. So I guess find out what it is you need to know. Even ask them, what do you need me to do?
For sure.
Find out what they might ask you so you can have answers.
And also, don't worry too much about it because, look, no going in that. Don't say anything you wouldn't want on the internet forever.
Mm.
But also, you can if you misspeak, they can edit it out.
Yeah.
So yeah,
whenever we have guests, we'd be like, whenever I speak to someone, I'm like, if there's anything you want me to edit out, just tell me. Yeah. And I've done that because
unless they hate your guts and it's a trap,
then they get you.
Then they get you exactly. They bait you into saying something really offensive, and then they keep it in.
But I've
and
had
then
people
cancel.
I've had people like request like, oh, can you just take that thing out? Even if it's like a minor thing, and I just do it because I'm like, if you're not comfortable with it, I'll take it out. I don't give a shit.
Right. Yeah. We don't care what murders you've done.
No, we love it. We encourage it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Any other advice though?
Just
be yourself.
Just be yourself.
You know what I mean? If you've got an interesting story, do that. Mm. If you're funny, do that.
It's like going on a date with the internet.
Exactly.
Right.
Could
West
turn out
Cologne.
Really badly. Where's? Yeah. Oh my God. Do you a Cologne guy?
No.
Me neither. Mm. Do you think it's coming back though?
Don't
ever do it.
The concept of cologne, is that coming back?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of died off a bit.
Yeah, because nobody, you can't go out and smell anyone.
Yeah, but even
you
if
shouldn't.
You could, no.
Yeah.
Shouldn't, and you haven't.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got a tweet here, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. It's from Meaning in Movies. What would your advice be for Hollywood at this point?
Oh.
Lower budgets, slimming slates, more streaming, less theatres. Get out your whiteboards and offer your advice. We're brainstorming here. No wrong answers.
Lower budgets for me would be,
I think,
number one.
The Blumhouse model is what a lot of studios should be
and
looking
at.
I don't mean
in terms of because everybody's quarantined and blah, blah, blah. I just mean
general.
Even when we get out of this, I feel like there's more creativity and there's
less pressure on those involved.
Yeah. Hollywood's become this monster where if your movie doesn't make $1 billion, it's a failure for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is absolute madness.
Like you'll get a chance to make another $1 billion film. Don't even worry about it.
It's true. Yeah, if you're in the club, you get the chance to make another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I feel like, especially when we were like teens.
It's a nice shirt.
This one?
Yeah.
This one here?
Yeah.
It's a good shirt. It's Reinhardt.
It looks like it's got a bit of weight to it.
Oh, so it's thick.
Yeah. So
it's thick like a cast iron door.
It's good. I like it. Give me that shirt.
Yeah, you can't have it.
Give me it.
Be too small for you.
I want to wear
Leave
it,
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Sorry, keep going.
I feel like when we were watching movies as teens or 20-somethings or whatever, you could watch a lower-budget movie and...
Equilibrium.
Yep, sure, absolutely. Maybe not the greatest example.
What do you mean? It's the greatest example of a movie.
That's probably a good...
Name another movie. You can't.
Now I can't. I can name nothing else.
But sorry, you're saying...
But just the idea of, you know, it's a movie that cost... you know, $20 million and it made $200 million, that's still a win.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not again?
Why not again?
And again, there seems to be, at this point, there's very little correlation between exactly how much money is put into the movie and the end result. You know, there are plenty of bad $200 million movies out there.
Yes.
There are a bunch of great, you know, 50 mil. The Invisible Man was a great movie. I can't remember what that cost, but it was not
like
a lot.
Like 6 million or 15 million. I don't know. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
I think also maybe it would be wise if we're talking budgets, I agree with you. Lower budget. It's lower stakes. The directors involved don't like get like crushed under the weight of studio pressure to put in this particular thing or cast this particular person for whatever reason. But the idea that maybe the weight of the budget would then go into marketing. So you're getting people to see it. So say if the movie costs $5 million, you put $30 million into marketing.
Right. Yeah. Because and again, that you're right. If you know if the Hollywood formula is correct, if somebody is making a $5 million movie, then they get $5 million worth of advertising. That's not going to get it anywhere.
No.
And that's obviously going to be
That's a couple of bus shelters.
Exactly. That's not going to give them a big return. And then they're going to go, well, this is a bad model and it's a failure.
Yeah.
Because nobody saw it. Because it was not marketed to anyone at all. So you are darn right.
I'm Hollywood.
Yeah, there are great ideas out there, and great movies being made on lower. Well, there should be great movies being made on lower budgets. But if nobody is seeing them, then they're going to seem like failures, even though more eyes should be on them.
This is something I also thought about back when the movie Australia came out. Do you remember the movie Australia?
Yeah, Baz Luhrmann classic.
I'm just going to check the budget on that because I'm fairly confident that it cost $200 million.
When you're there, can you also click and tell me what Baz Luhrmann's actual first name is? Because it's not Barry.
It's Bazley.
It is. Right?
I don't know. Is it?
It's close to No, he changed his name.
Is it?
It's like it is honestly like Bazley Luhrmann or something like that. It's like...
Born Mark Anthony Luhrmann.
Scroll down.
To what?
To the point where he changes his name to Baz. Yeah.
Luhrmann received the nickname Baz from his father because of his Afro hairstyle and the name coming from the English Basil Bush. In high school, Luhrmann changed his name to Bazmark.
There we go. His real full name is Bazmark Luhrmann.
But at first it was like John Mark Peter or whatever.
That's a fun little fact, isn't it?
It is a fun fact.
Yeah.
So anyway, the movie Australia cost... $211 million.
Yeah.
No, sorry, $130 million. I apologize. But it made $213 because it's bad.
Right.
And I remember at the time when that came out thinking, if you had have taken that money, because then that's the Australian film industry. That's your shot at America for the year.
Right.
Which is what this country seems to do every now and then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why the only movies that people know are Crocodile Dundee and the movie Australia. But... give that to 10 different directors and give them $10 million each.
Yep.
And one of those is going to be fucking awesome.
You might get
9 duds,
yes,
but one of those is going to break through.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And so I just remember thinking at the time, that's an insane amount of money to give to one movie, which wasn't good either.
Yeah.
And apparently they also reshot a lot of it on green screen, I heard from our friend Hollywood Pete.
Oh, yeah.
They went back. That's why it looks so weird.
Yeah, but Screen Australia is not great at distributing money in a...
No, not always. They're better for like smaller creators.
Yeah.
But we know people who have gone to make bigger budget films and they've pulled the funding for various reasons. Mm. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
I've not seen the movie Australia.
It's kind of tries to, that's one that wouldn't have happened without Titanic. It's got
that's
that
very
kind
true.
Of,
yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It's got that kind of feeling to it. Mm. Anyway,
then maybe Hugh Jackman's entire career wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Because he's in that, right?
Yeah, but
He'd done Wolverine before.
And many other things.
Forget I said anything there.
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Remember, it's got that scene where he's shirtless and he pours the bucket on him and people are like, ooh, never seen something so sexy.
Struth, they said.
Struth, they said. Core blinding.
Yeah.
All right, is that the show? Or you got another
one? That's
the
whole show, yeah.
Great. Wrap us up to the home, please.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope everybody's doing all right out there. We very much appreciate still listening, even if you don't have a commute to go to.
Yeah, that's right.
Commute from the bathroom into the bedroom.
What's on the way?
Podcasts.
You better pick up that sock.
We're a sock picking up podcast now.
We certainly are.
That's right. Sing our beautiful little song.
Yes.
Picking up my socks. It's me, the listener of the week with Laddit. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
Before we wrap things up, though, bit of a sad state of affairs, Mason. Not sad news, but sad news in a way.
Rad news.
Rad news?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. Well, Andrew Levins, who people would know from Serious Issue Podcast, Hey Fam, The Mitchin, other podcasts. He's got 1,000 podcasts.
So many podcasts. He's got a book out. He's got a kid's book out.
Exactly, yeah, which I buy it. I haven't read it yet because he sent us a copy and it didn't come because everything shut down forever. So, yeah, we're going to get hold of that. But it's about a kid who gets superpowers through eating vegetables, but he hates vegetables.
What's he going to do? It's a real dilemma.
Well, we don't know.
Why? You,
but
right?
Yeah, it's selling really well, though, so you should definitely pick up a copy. It's called Nelson, Number One, Pumpkins and Aliens by Andrew Levins. You can order it online. But, yeah, so basically he's moving his podcast. He's not moving his podcast, they still exist, but he's joining the Sans Pants Network over there. So that means everything is still running. None of those are being deleted because we don't own the podcasts on the network,
but,
are the ones that we
that's
do.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Levins is from Sydney.
Yes.
And Sans Pants have opened up a recording studio in Sydney. So
that's
he's going
right.
to be moving his recording and production of that over to Sydney. Levins a great debt of gratitude because he created the Planet Broadcasting Grade Mates Facebook group.
Correct.
Which is, in my opinion, one of the very few places to have an enjoyable civil conversation about pop culture and just life in general on the internet and have a fun, good time without being bogged down by just aggro lunatics. Just people
that's
who
right.
Are, people, you know the people who are like, oh, actually, the thing about the internet is you've got to expect to have, if you put it a pity on the idiot, you've got to expect people to be mean and bully you. Why?
You can just be nice.
You can just be nice.
And even if you disagree,
This is the one oasis on the internet of just places where you can just talk about the stuff you like, you know, comic books and movies and video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just have a fun chat. And that's, that is 100% down to Levins and the other admins and moderators on that group who, when people step out of line, be like, just be nice.
Be nice, please. What's,
come on. Yeah. And he really, Levin's really fostered an environment where, just.
It's, as dad men.
Exactly, as the dad men. Yeah. It's just, we're talking about silly things.
Yes.
And it's good to have a silly fun time. There's no room for arguments there.
No, that's right. Civil discussions.
Civil discussions.
But yeah, so he's still going to be in the group, obviously, but he has written a post there, which you can check out, where he talks through the, why he's leaving in the situation. As you mentioned, this isn't a bad blood thing at all. I mean, there's bad blood, but we can't get into it because it's a secret. No,
right.
It was honestly like it's a great opportunity, and why wouldn't he do it? But we're really greatly appreciative for all the things that he's done. You will see him around, like he'll be still around in the group, and he'll be on things as well.
When everything's back up and running,
and
we can meet people in person. We'll have him back on the show. Might be in his show.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Who does know? So yeah, look, we wish him the best of luck. He's not dead though. He's still out there, so it's going to be okay. I think.
I think so too.
Yeah, but definitely keep listening to all of his shows. Absolutely, and the Sans Pants guys are great, and girls, they're great. So it's a great place to be, and I'm sure there's a number of people who listen to this who also listen to.
That's right.
Of shows over there. So terrific stuff. But yeah, he will be missed, but he's not dead. So that's good.
That's true. Yeah. I choose not to miss him because he's still around.
That's right. And we can still talk to him.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, don't yell at him about not approving your posts because he's not doing that anymore.
That's
because why would he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to also say that the baby that Claire is having,
yes.
which is also my baby,
mm-hmm.
I hope.
To the best of your knowledge, yes.
It's... anytime over the next 2 weeks. So there could be no episode because I disappear,
right.
Or maybe Mason does well with someone else, but also maybe not because we can't catch up with anybody else.
That's true, yeah. Uh-huh.
So if there isn't an episode, that's probably why.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. Just want to let people know. We're not planning to stop doing this.
No.
But things happen, don't they? Yeah.
We're also not planning to stop forever. So presumably.
Are you sure?
We'll never stop.
Okay, good.
We'll never ever stop.
Oh, no.
So if anything, there might be a week. But we'll figure something out.
Yeah,
that's right.
What else, though?
Thank you, everybody, for listening and subscribing. Telling a friend, even if it's on a Zoom meeting.
We don't mind.
We don't mind at all.
Mm.
If you get, you know what? If you're thinking about changing your Zoom background, maybe you're at work, you're teleworking.
Yeah.
Maybe change your background to the Weekly Planet logo.
But if
definitely
not,
appreciate that.
And if you're not wearing pants, do not stand up because everyone will be like.
They'll see your genitals. Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
That's right. And then they'll associate your genitals with the Weekly Planet podcast, which might be good, but it might be bad.
We don't want to take that
we
chance.
We don't want to take the risk, really.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know where we're at.
Yeah. Unless you have like A-plus genitals, in which case.
But who does?
Well, I mean.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe you work in pornography.
Yeah, but even then.
And then you're having a Zoom, bag, isn't you're it? Having a Zoom meeting about your upcoming pornography.
Well, that's fine then. That's fine. I think that's you're not going to be wearing pants. That's a different scenario.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. But we can review the show, can't we? Well,
yeah,
we can.
If you'd like to leave a nice review, that'd be terrific. James, you have one right there.
I've got a couple here. You can do it in-app. It really helps the show. There's a couple of five-star ones here that I've picked up. Oliver223T says, great podcast, but says, can James or Meso dunk a basketball? Great podcast, but I don't think either of the hosts could dunk a basketball on a 10-foot ring. It's very true.
You have a basketball.
I have a basketball.
And you have a teeny tiny small one for your son as
That's
well.
That's for me also. They're both for me.
Oh, yeah, right.
We do. We play basketball
we
together.
We should do some Hobbit-style horse perspective where we both dunk on the little, little basketball ring.
No, I can't. I think there might have been a time when I could maybe touch a basketball ring, but I certainly couldn't now.
Yeah, right.
And I definitely have never been able to dunk. Yeah. I presume you are the same, or maybe you're the best basketball dunker.
You know, on a pair of Nike Air Jordans,
when you pump
there's
them
a little
up.
Jump man.
Yeah.
That's me.
I think that's, isn't that Michael Jordan?
No, that's me.
Isn't that Air Michael Jordan?
It's not Air Michael Jordan, no.
You're not actually even dunking, though. You're just in the air. So you didn't answer my question. Can you dunk or not?
No,
the logo isn't him doing a dunk. It's him flying. So can you fly?
Him. Yeah. Yeah. That's him, and by him I mean me. That's me in my victory float after I've dunked many basketballs.
But you're still holding a ball.
Yeah, I've already dunked one. I got two hands, don't I? God.
Got two hands and a ring, don't I?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Well, that answers that question. One of us can dunk.
Yeah.
Another one says, just quickly, Dax Lusty says, feel good podcasting at its finest. Really great guys. Putting out really great content. That'll take your mind off your worries for a couple of hours a week. What more could you want?
It's true. Thank you very much.
Anyway, please continue.
If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can see all the shows on the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can sign up to our newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
You can see all the memes because Claire posted a picture of me when
I was a
little
boy. That's where I was going to go with that. If you go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, Claire put up a photo of you as a child.
Yep.
You're looking perturbed.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people have really outdone themselves this week, just putting up some James as a little kid memes. They're very funny.
That face pretty much sums up my entire childhood. Just like a uncertain of everything. Because when I was a kid, I was like, I don't understand anything. Why are adults like weird? Is it me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you interact with people when you're a little kid?
I meet this guy on the side of my Air Jordans, my little Air Jordans.
My hero, yeah. But then growing up, you realize everyone's a fucking weirdo and no one knows what they're doing. And you can say anything and it doesn't matter.
That's true, yeah.
Just be nice.
Yeah.
But really,
you can lie about your presence on the side of some Air Jordans if you want. Who'll call you on it? No one.
No one will do it because it's the truth.
That's
right. I'm with you, Mason.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you would like to chuck in a buck.
Right.
You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description. You're buying some groceries, you're buying some essentials. Want to buy them through our link on Amazon.com.
It can be non-essentials.
That's true. You can buy anything you bloody want. I'll tell you
some Pokemon cards in a little folder.
That's essential.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who are you Pokemon carding with, though?
Other Pokemon Masters?
Yeah, but social distancing is a trick.
Put it on Zoom. Do it on Zoom.
No.
Zoom.
No.
Really?
Pokemon is a social in-person game.
Wow.
The game was built around interaction, and I will not hear a word against it. Except for the time.
How about a new app? Pokemon Don't. The longer you stand still, the more Pokemon you collect.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd probably win that. What's next?
Let me think. We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com.
Yes.
We've got USB tapes with all the best subs in the commentaries and all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Yeah.
If you want to contact me, I'm Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, but I'm also Nick Maso, NickMaseu on Instagram. You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
That's right. If you have any ideas for what you would like in maybe a subscription service thing,
yep.
What is it?
Yeah, please let us know. That'd be exciting. I'm like, we've got big ideas.
We might just do whatever. But actually, input would be great because you know we want to make it worth people's while.
Mm.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's the whole show, I reckon.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un is dead, maybe.
You're putting that in? You're putting that
in
the
podcast? Well, it keeps popping up in my feed.
Oh, yeah?
I just don't know what else. What do you say about it?
Wow.
Other than I fucking hope he is dead. I mean, I don't think that's particularly controversial, is it? Am I rattling some cages,
Mason?
You're
rattling so many cages. Wow.
That horrible monster of a man, yeah. All right, that's the show.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Wait, you could have said that we're in sync, like the band In Sync.
I only talk about bands that I know.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. They were also, a boy band. They sang in harmonies.
Yeah?
and their name literally was NSYNC.
I thought you said NSYNC.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It sounds like
INSYNK. They were in a sink.
Oh no!
Were they like
little
babies being bathed in a sink?
No, they were fully grown men. Yeah.
But they're a boy band. You said they're boys.
You've got me there. I don't know.
I don't think you. I think this is made up. I mean, your Air Jordan story was tight and believable, but this is lunacy,
yeah,
and I won't have it.
Right, yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.